This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
People thought we were going to come in with more cowbell for our next guest, former Colorado State running back Kyle Bell. Always, I always love seeing the dude. I feel like I'm in pretty good shape, but then I see Kyle and I'm like, what the hell, man? He looks bigger than he did when he played football, or at least he looks like he's more fit than ever. But still, I'm happy. I guess I'm happy for you. Kyle, my friend, great seeing you yesterday, dude, and thanks for jumping on with us.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. It's always great to be with you.
Well, I want to get kind of a little bit of your take from what you saw yesterday, but what I'm really interested in talking about too, Kyle, years ago when you and I kind of first connected, I believe that was during the Addazio era for Colorado State, and I know you and I had talked on the air, maybe a little off the air, about maybe not feeling that Colorado State reached out a lot to former players, getting you guys involved and being kind of a part of the program for well beyond your playing years. It kind of seems like that's changing a little bit, and seeing you there, not just to watch practice, but you're going on the tour, you got your kiddo with you. That just kind of hit my brain a little bit. I'm like, I think that's a great move. So I'm just curious kind of your thoughts on what CSU is doing now to engage former players.
Yeah, man, they're doing such a good job, I think, in terms of just creating an environment where former players are where we can feel welcomed. You know, you mentioned Addazio. That was basically like a two-year black hole of no engagement. I mean, I know COVID was in the middle of all that, but from the feedback that I've got, you know, that from people who were there and kind of worked along with him, he didn't even really have that much interest in having former players involved, which is funny because, you know, they're kind of the lifeblood of keeping a lot of the excitement within the program. So that it was what it was at that point in time. Under, you know, Bobo before that, it was okay. You know, I think he appreciated the, you know, the alumni and the former athletes, but it's still, I think there was a lot to still be desired in terms of creating that sense of belonging. But with as soon as Coach Norvell has stepped in a few years ago, from right off the bat, it was kind of a totally different ball game. And, you know, just the individuals there within the athletic department and in the football offices, you know, they've got people in there who are, you know, who kind of their main responsibility is to engage with former players. I got to give a shout out to Patrick Kersey, who I've known for over two decades. He's been with the athletic department for quite a while now, and that's kind of one of his sole responsibilities, is just to kind of be that bridge between the athletic the football program and former players. And they're doing a phenomenal job. So
what was that process like then? Because I've seen you more and more at stuff. I know you're going to games and seeing you out there yesterday. Is that a call out to you, an email? Hey, we'd love to come have you come by practice and not just watch, but to tour the facilities. Take me through how that process went.
Yeah, something like yesterday, being up there with my son Braxton, I reached out to Patrick, and I told him, you know, actually we had lunch a few weeks ago. He was down in the Denver area. Whenever he's down here, you know, he hits up everybody that he kind of knows here in the metro area for things like lunches or just kind of getting together. And so I had lunch with him a few weeks ago, and, you know, I said, hey, what's the camp schedule look like? I want to get my son up there. He said Wednesdays, you know, are typically scrimmage days. So I already kind of knew the schedule of things, made it work with my calendar, called him up and said, hey, I want to come up Wednesday. And he said, yeah, come on up. So it was as easy as that. There was really no laborious process involved. It's just picking up the phone, saying, what time's practice, and can we meet you there? And it was, yeah, that was that.
What do you make of everything, you know, like the facilities there? And you know, obviously Canvas is just awesome. And I know you've been there several times on game day. But just getting a chance to go through and look through all of that, like how does that compare to your playing days, man?
Oh, yeah. And I had a chance, you know, I wanted to be able to take my son through the locker room and the weight room and just kind of show him all these things. And it's night and day compared to even 20 years ago when I was there. We had a full locker room renovation. I think it was 2006 when Joey Porter donated a good chunk of money to the program to do that. And so, but even that, for as nice as that was at that time, and as nice as that felt compared to what we had, it still pales in comparison to what these guys have now. Between the locker room, the players' lounge, the nutrition center, just, you know, obviously the weight room right there, everything being on, you know, just kind of right there on campus, and their access, and just how easy it is for them to really get what they need, the training room, and all the luxuries they have there. It's awesome. I mean, it really just kind of speaks to the lengths that the university has gone to be competitive in the facility space and the amenity space to attract athletes who are getting recruited by the bigger schools who already have that. And so to say we're right up there with as good as anything anybody else has is pretty awesome.
Kyle Bell joining us, former Colorado State Rams running back. And Kyle, that's why when I look at like the facilities and everything that they have, everything you just mentioned, and that's where I do say, yeah, in the grand scheme of things, if the NCAA does end up, and we see, especially on the football side, a separation between, you know, the big boys, and then maybe there's eventually a separate league. These are the things I look at and say, CSU could get there. They could be put in to the whatever this looks like, the Power Four conversation, the Pac-12. Now you just got to see it on the field. Both of those things have to connect. But the facilities, that does, I think that raises the stature up for Colorado State.
It certainly does, and I'll say, you know, winning solves most of your problems. Winning kind of cures everything, so that is always going to be kind of the first and foremost of it. But even if, you know, if you are winning and you kind of don't have everything else that goes along with it, you're kind of putting yourself at a disadvantage. And so that's, you know, what you can see how everything has kind of gone these last 7-8 years with the facility, and now, you know, having a university president up there who's all in athletics, having a new AD who's really, really working hard to just kind of get these things in motion as we get into the Pac-12 and kind of the future schedules and the buzz that they're creating around not just football, but the athletic department in general, kind of having this whole group of people now who I think you can really with confidence say they're all in on athletics. It's a night and day compared to where things were, you know, even just 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. And again, I don't claim to know what an athletic director has to go through and the work that they have to do. But it seems like John Weber is doing some of these things, and I'm not meaning this negatively, but just doing some of these things that are obvious to me and fans. Like, yeah, you should be creating new game day features. You should be aggressive and talking about the Pac-12 and trying to make it fun for the fans, not just the game, but the in-game stuff. Not everything's been amazing. Not everything, like the Ram thing, I think is cool, but I'm still curious to see if they edit, how they work that out next year. But that's what I'm looking for, is just new ideas. And if they stick, that's awesome. If they don't, try something new.
Yeah, it's just forward thinking in terms of what's, you know, what's going to get people excited, what gets fans excited, what gets alumni excited, what gets recruits excited. And I think, again, you know, not speaking anything about previous administrations or anything, you know, our athletic directors or things like that, I think there was a lack of just trying to look at being innovative and just creating excitement, because that's really what it's all about. It's all about how excited are the people who are going to be giving their money, their time, their energy, you know, to the programs, coming to games, you know, donating, all these different things. That's what it's all about. And if you start to lose sight of that, then what's the whole point of even doing it? If you're not going to have community involvement, alumni involvement, you could do all you can do to try to get athletes in there and be competitive. But if you don't, they work hand in hand. And so that's where this, like I said, this current, your current administration, between all the way up to the school president in Amy Parsons, who I've had a chance to, interact with on multiple occasions. She's amazing. John's amazing. And so, really excited about what's going on.
What did you make of the scrimmage yesterday? For me, a lot of people just they hear scrimmage and they think it's going to be a full on game. It's situational stuff and all of that. But anything in particular stick out to you watching the scrimmage yesterday?
I mean, I think just the amount of athletes they've got on offense, the speed and the talent. I mean, Jackson Warren at tight end. Gosh, I went up and stood next to him. And I'm just like, staring straight up at this guy who's 6'8". And he had a little catch over the middle where he kind of just pulled away from the secondary. So the dude can run. I'm really excited to see what he can do in the group that they have at receivers. And then the running back room, the depth that they got there, they've got a pretty solid O-line as far as, some returning starters and just the depth there. So I think, with Braden coming into his third year now starting, I mean, I think all the pieces are there for them to be pretty explosive on offense. Defensively, with the new schemes and everything that they're gonna kind of be learning and some adjustment periods there, I'm sure. But I think offensively they've got all the tools, and so hopefully, as long as they can defensively be able to come out and compete every week, they should be pretty darn good.
What are your thoughts on Jay Norvell? You already kind of previewed that, saying, since he took over, there's been a lot more of the reaching out to former players, a lot of that stuff going on. But, you've had chances to interact with him. I talk to him in a media side of things, so I never really sit down and get to know a coach like on a one-to-one level typically. But what are your thoughts, when you listen to Jay, when you talk to him personally?
I mean, I think for me personally, and I can't, speak for all former players in regards to this. Everyone, I think, kind of has their own viewpoint of it. But for me personally, I just kind of look at it from a standpoint of, like, hey, if I was, 18, 19 years old again, knowing what I know now, but if I was, if I was a recruit, or if I was even, in the locker room at that point in my life in college, how's this guy coming across to me? And from, from the moment Jay got up to Fort Collins, I had a chance to meet him. I think it was the very first Ram Roundup recruiting thing that they did here in Denver. Had a chance to meet him, and pretty much right off the bat, I just kind of this feeling that, hey, this is a guy that I feel like I would want to play for. This is a guy I think that, like, I could get behind in terms of being, my head coach, a guy that I would want to follow out onto the field. Sonny was obviously was that guy for me, back when I was there and recruited me. And he was a guy that, pretty much any player that you ever talked to who played for him would want to run through a wall for that man. And Coach Norvell gave me that same kind of a gut feeling of, hey, this is a guy who cares about not just, being a head football coach, but developing men and caring about his players and wanting to do what's best for the team. And so I think that's been pretty consistent, since he's been up there. Obviously, we want to see more success on the field, which is coming, I believe. These last 3 years, there's been consistent progress. So, hey, if this is the year we can kind of really finally start to take another leap forward, then I think, he's hopefully will be here for, another – No, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, certainly a very important season for him. A very important season for Colorado State in general, this being the last year in the Mountain West before moving on to the Pac-12. Kyle, my friend, always appreciate catching up with you. I know you're a busy man, so I'm really appreciative of the time.
Anytime, Brady, for you, man.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon, okay? Keep those curls going. Keep them going.
Will do, buddy.
Kyle Bell. I kid. Kyle Bell, though, man, freaking legend. Colorado State legend. And I'm serious. The guy's like running marathons now all the time. He's a great influence. I mean, those are the guys you want. They were successful at CSU. He actually had an opportunity to get into the NFL, but you know, he had his knees, his injuries, those kind of things just really made that a struggle for him. But he's a great human, and he's a great representative of all things Colorado State. So yeah, you got to get those guys coming in. You got to bring them in and showcase them and have them feel good about the program well into their 40s and 50s and 60s. So they're constantly talking about, you know, what Colorado State means to them. And that goes for every single school. You know, whether they're legendary players or they were just solid players or just good representatives of your school, you have to do it. So I wanted to highlight that today because I thought that was important, especially seeing as Kyle was one of the guys I talked to years ago about this. And he's like, yeah, I don't really feel it. There's not really a reach out. You know, there's not a lot of that going on. And that certainly seems to have changed. 37 minutes after the hour, Michael Porter Jr. says the quiet part out loud when it comes to gambling and players being involved. And it's interesting because his brother, of course, Jonte Porter, was banned by the NBA for gambling, for, you know, allegedly or, you know, whatever, faking an injury so that he could get an under in certain games. MPJ had some very enlightening things to say. We'll play that clip back coming up next, and then we'll react to it. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.